When I was 17 years old, I went from Strawberry, Arkansas to Miami, Florida. I thought I'd get to work there and perhaps go to the University of Miami. My brother had said that he would help me through college if I would come and live with him. And I wasn't as interested in going to college as I was getting out of Strawberry, Arkansas. So I went and I got a job in a war surplus or an army surplus store as a salesman. Some of the items we sold were not army surplus. For instance, we sold swing sets, which had just at that time come into popularity. A woman came into the store, and she was very heavily painted, as only people can be in the resort areas of our world. I showed her a swing set that she was obviously buying for her great-grandchildren. And she said she'd like to purchase it. We walked to the counter, stood there for a few minutes, and the man who owned the store and who ran the cash register didn't seem to notice me. So I spoke to him rather loudly. "Jack, would you take this old woman's money?" And for some reason, she turned on me and called me things that I'd never been called at Strawberry, Arkansas, and told him what he could do with the store and the swing set and all the other things that were in the store. Stalked out. That afternoon, at closing time, he said, "Johnny, I really don't think we will need you anymore." And I was let go, fired for calling an old woman an old woman. And I decided I'd never do that again. So tonight we're going to talk about aged women. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. "The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed." Again, the reason for our studying these verses of Scripture as we are is to determine the proper dress of a Christian. Not necessarily clothing that we wear, but the things that adorn our profession of faith. In verse 1, Paul spoke of doing the things which become sound doctrine. It is assumed that these people, the aged men, the aged women, the young men, and the slaves, are people who already possess a sound doctrine as far as the faith is concerned. But they are to adorn that faith. They are to do things that become that faith. And of course, this involves right living. This morning I spoke about the aged men and right living as the proper dress of a Christian gentleman. And tonight we're thinking about Christian living or right living as the proper dress or the proper ornament of a gentlewoman. The aged women likewise. And again, the word means well into, are entered into. And obviously it has to do with years, with the time they've lived upon this earth. And Paul gives specific instructions to the aged women. And some of the instructions they give are directly connected to their influence upon the younger women. And tonight I want us to look at the things that they are specifically taught or to be taught to do. And then next Sunday, I'll be looking on Sunday morning at the young women and what Paul has commanded them to do. And then next Sunday night at the young men, and perhaps separately the next Sunday morning at the slaves, because it's very interesting what Paul teaches in regard to slavery. Now tonight, to those things that are commanded or taught that have to do specifically with the aged women. Paul speaks first of all of their behavior. Notice, likewise, that is, in the same manner, in the same fashion as the aged men are to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity and in patience, the aged women likewise, in the same fashion, in the same manner, that they be in behavior as becomes holiness. The entire sentence, in behavior as becomes holiness, has in it the idea of a person's activity in a holy place, their demeanor at some sacred spot. Does not necessarily have to do with the temple in Israel. The Greeks had many temples. The Romans had many temples erected to their gods and their goddesses. And there was a proper way for a person to behave when they came to these temples that housed the idols of the Romans and the Greeks. And it was considered a crime against the state to misbehave or to behave inappropriately in one of these places. And these women who are dressed as being the aged women in the churches of Crete are supposed to behave as a person who is a holy person. And since they are, in fact, holy people, they are to portray an external deportment that becomes a sacred person or a sacred thing. Now notice, in behavior as becomes holiness. Just as you would behave in the presence or in the place of someone considered to be sacred, you consider yourself to be a sacred or holy person, and then live your life with such deportment as to encourage people to believe and have confidence that you indeed are a sacred or holy person. Well, that's quite a heavy and a very significant announcement for Paul to make. You teach the aged women that they are holy, that they are as a sacred place. And all of their activity, their actions in life ought to portray and adorn this stature that they have received from Almighty God as a person of holiness. And then in the next phrase, Paul states that they are not to be false accusers. The word that's translated false accusers is diablos, which those of you who know some other languages recognize as the name that some countries have given to the devil. Not false accusers. Not behaving as diabolos. Diabolos has in it the idea of accusation. You know, the devil is called the accuser. And diabolos has in it the idea of one who accuses. Now the devil, what does he do? He accuses, so the Bible teaches us, he accuses God's people to God. Diabolos came before God and accused Job. He was in the position of a diabolos as he accused Job before Jehovah God. And it was a false accusation. And from this meaning of the word diabolos, it has come to mean a person who accuses someone falsely, without any basis for their accusation. One translator has said, not scandal mongers. Another translator has translated, not malicious gossip. Not malicious gossip. Now, I think gossip is a word we understand much better than scandalmonger. And malicious is a word we're quite well acquainted with. It means with the intent of doing harm. Paul says an aged woman should be in behavior as becomes a sacred place, and that they should not indulge in malicious gossip. Paul then tells us that they are to not be given to much wine. Not given to much wine. We have the same admonition given in verse 2 where Paul speaks of the aged men being temperate. It has the idea of not being addicted to anything. Here Paul is more specific and uses wine as an example. That which people are not to use in excess or become addicted to, as they use it as the very common drink it was in the days of Paul the Apostle in the early New Testament period. One translator has said, not a slave to drink. Another translator has said, avoid addictive substances. I think Paul had noticed that there was a tendency among people in his culture to become addicted to wine. And every time you read Paul's writings, whether he's writing to Timothy or writing to Titus, whether he's writing in other scriptures, he talks about using just a little wine. Never does he speak of a person having license and liberty to indulge themselves to their entire desire, using and fulfilling their lusts and their cravings. He never allows people to do that. I really doubt that housewifing has changed all that much down through the centuries. And according to the statistics that have been filed recently by Califano and other people and the departments that deal with our personal health, there is today in America a great number of women who are alcoholics. In fact, alcoholism seems to be increasing among women more than any other group. Someone has said that it is the boredom of being a housewife that has caused this. It is the fact that the things the housewife does are oftentimes so repetitious that she becomes extremely bored. Not because she doesn't have anything to do, but because there are things that must be done over and over again. And the things that housewives do are not considered important by the world. It's very frustrating to be thought of as a person who has failed because you have not gone out into the world and become a man. That's the idea of the world today. That equality, as far as the sexes are concerned, simply means that you have gone into the business world, competed with men, and that you can drink as much, cuss as much, shove as much, push as much, take as much, boss as much as any man. It seems that the ideal of many women in America today are people who are involved in the ERA program, Equal Rights Amendment, which has never had enough states ratified to be part of our Constitution. And the housewife today is made to feel inferior by almost every modern social institution. People who are in the last years of high school, juniors or seniors, the young girls are not encouraged to be housewives because housewifing is an inferior work to be done by uneducated and by women who cannot make it in the business world or in some profession. And I realize that washing clothes and cleaning floors and making beds and cooking meals is an almost eternal and perhaps one of the most thankless tasks that anyone's ever done. Men are generally portrayed as being slobs in that respect. That is, they just come in and fall in a chair and snap their fingers and get up and eat and go sit down, go to bed. Never considerate of the housewife, never thanking her. And young people generally are very sloppy and slobby also. And it's really no revelation that mothers get quite discouraged by what they do. Always pick up this, put that away. Did you make your bed? Did you wash it? Did you? And every time such a request is made, there's always a look of disgust, and you feel like you've really been you know, it's just a terrible thing you've been asked to do. Mothers say, brush your teeth, wash your hair. Are you going to wear that same old dirty shirt again? I can see how it'd get awful boring. And in that unshaven slob of hers, immovable in his tranquility generally, now our society today has generated another type of woman, the woman who not only works at home but works somewhere else. And this has become a very serious thing in our society and our culture. And I really expect that it's going to get serious, even more serious because of inflation. And I really feel sorry for the young people that are starting out today that are just getting married. Because there's hardly any way in the world that they can have anything unless both of them work out somewhere. Many of the people who have children today, the women literally must work in order to meet the bills to have a house. But I'm going to give you some advice tonight, and I think it's good advice. If you have to work in order to have food and clothing and shelter, I think the husband ought to work. He has to work two jobs, and the wife ought to work. And I think when the children get old enough, they ought to work. But if the only reason that a wife with children at home, if the only reason you work, now don't misunderstand me now, if the only reason you work is so you can have the things that have to do with monetary value. That is, you didn't have to work, but you wanted a new car, or you're willing to leave your children alone so you can get a new car. I think that is a tragic mistake, because there's not any new cars worth what you miss in being with your children. And they need you. And good clothes, that is the store-bought kind. I think my wife has the best clothes in the world, and I think I do too, because I like what she makes, and I like what your wife makes for you. I like everybody, okay? But to pay for a membership in the country club, to pay for your child to have new things or expensive and exclusive things is paying too high a price. And I'm going to say something else tonight while I'm involved in this. Many times people think that they ought to be home when their children are 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 years old. That's the time they need to be home. But once they start to school, after the child gets 6 or 7 years old, then they don't need to be home anymore. And I'm telling you, mother, your child, when it is in the age of growing up, from 9 through 13 or 14, they probably need you more than they do when they are 1 and 2 years old. Now, if you can't work and give them time to instruct and to be with them and to love them and get them over this growing up period in their life, then I'd say just don't work. It doesn't make much how difficult and how much sacrifice you have to make. Now, this is just some plain advice that I think comes out of my experience and things I've seen, and I don't think it's out of the realm of what we're talking about here as the Word of God speaks to us. Housewives ought to be honored, not only the ones who work 8 hours a day, but the ones who, that is, in the factories or in the offices 8 hours a day. And I admire women who say, look, you know, we're just not making it, and I'm going to put myself to work. And sometimes it's a necessity, and you just don't need to feel guilty if that's what it is. If it is a dire necessity, a real necessity, you've got to do it, And so many women feel so terribly guilty about it. Don't worry about it. But if it's just so you can have some more earrings and another watch and a few other things like that, again, I think you're making a bad mistake. There are a lot of addictions. That is, there are a lot of things that people can be addicted to in our age, aren't there? It wasn't a great deal that was known at the time of Paul the Apostle. There was available some drugs, probably cocaine. Am I correct, Brother Baker? Might have been used rather heavily by the upper crust. You know, upper crusts are, what I understand, a bunch of crumbs that are stuck together by their dough. But there are a lot of addictive things in our world. Pills. I'll tell you, you can't cure your boredom if you're bored with pills, and you can't cure it with alcohol, and you can't cure it with tranquilizers, whatever you've got. The empty void you have as a woman in your home, as a person who feels totally unfulfilled and neglected, then drinking and drugs are not going to solve your problem. They've never solved anybody's problem. They've always compounded it. If you think you live in a hell, and that you're going to deliver yourself from a living hell by taking drugs, you're just going to descend to a lower region of hell. You'll never deliver yourself. And that's true of teenage problems. It's true of housewife problems. It's true of the working man's problems. It's just the truth any way you look at it. I know that I'm a sane man. And one of the ways that I know that I am not a saint, that I am not an insane man, that I have my right spiritual mind, is because I'm not an admirer of Jane Fonda, and I've never been in love with Bella Abzug. Now, I know I'm not crazy because of those things. I hope you people never think, you ladies who are housewives, who've raised your family, I hope you never think that you've missed anything in life because you haven't led a group of people to Washington, D.C. to demonstrate against some particular problem of our society. Notice also that Paul states, teachers of good things. Really, good things would probably be better translated, what is beautiful. Teachers of things that are beautiful, things that are agreeable, things that are good, things that are excellent, as opposed to things that are unlovely. Teachers of good things. Now, I said this morning that men could teach young, that an older man could teach the younger men more by example than perhaps any other way. And I'm going to say that of the older women also. What you teach ought to be something that is beautiful, respectable, that has in it a degree of holiness and godliness. And I know that the other people get the attention. They just don't write stories about women who've never had three or four love affairs, been in the insane asylum, anything like that. They just don't write stories about the common, ordinary mother in Israel. You've never been idolized, and you're certainly not respected by our society today. But teach beautiful things. Teach things of that have to do with compassion and understanding and godliness. Things that grace and adorn the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Now the aged women and their responsibilities are not left with these four things. Paul writes to Titus and says there are some more things that they need to teach. It seems that the lives of older women cannot be separated from their influence on the younger women. Therefore, they are, as Paul said, always to teach the young women. God willing, we'll talk about that next Sunday morning.